All of us realize that there are some things in our past life we ought to forget. Often, however, they kind of hang on, and we can't forget them. On the other hand, as Christians, there's some things we should never forget. Please listen as I read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. The psychologists tell us that we never really forget anything. All we have learned is stored away somewhere in our mind. The problem seems to be, however, in the recalling process, in being able to reproduce any one of these millions of accumulated impressions at a given instant. Actually, Peter faced this problem realistically many years ago. Three times in verses 12 through 15 in this first chapter of his epistle, he uses the word remembrance. He is convinced that there are some things that must never be lost in the storehouse of our minds, but must be kept foremost in our thinking. Now, I believe he had in mind the things he so ardently stressed in the opening verses of his epistle. These are essentials that must be considered and reconsidered many times if a child of God is to grow and abound in grace and power. The apostle said, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." He desires that we be faithful servants of the Lord. This involves more than receiving new truth. It demands constant reminding of the old. There is a tendency on the part of those of us who would teach and preach the Word of God to keep presenting new truth. Those who listen clamor for something unusual or sensational. But the apostle informs us that the re-emphasis of old truth must not be neglected. An important part of the preacher's responsibility is not simply that of telling his flock new things, but also that of reminding them of the old. We forget so easily. Thus, we must give repeated consideration to the fundamental truths of the precious faith which we receive in Christ. Peter goes on to tell us how important is the regular reconsideration of these fundamentals of the faith. He says, "I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth." Even though we may know the truth and be grounded in it firmly, this is no indication that we cannot stumble and fall into error. This is what happened to the Galatian Christians, you will remember. Paul wrote to them, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you?" Here were believers transformed by the power of God, but they drifted back into error. Why? Doubtless they failed to re-emphasize the fundamentals of the faith and the essential graces for growth that all believers need to hear repeatedly. This is one reason why I believe it is so very important for God's people to be regular and punctual in their attendance at church. God says in Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is." Why is it so important that we attend the worship services of our church? So we can be strengthened in the faith to withstand the evil attacks of the wicked one. Peter tells us in verse 13 that until his dying day he proposed to give himself to the needed ministry of reiterating the fundamentals of the faith. He says, "Yea, I think it meet, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Now, to stir up literally means to awaken or arouse, to render active, to stimulate. Actually, what Peter desired was to get believers burning for God with a holy zeal and concern for souls. You see, we need this. We need to be aroused and awakened from our slumber. We may be saved, but how few of us are motivated by an infectious zeal that cannot be withstood even by the enemies of the cross. We cannot afford to play church while there are teeming millions crowding the broad road that leads to destruction. I recall the story about a church building that caught on fire. Practically all the people in the little town hastened out to see it. The pastor was shaking hands with various people along the sidelines. With surprise, he said to one man, "Brother, this is the first time I've ever seen you at our church." The man replied, "Preacher, this is the first time your church has ever been on fire." Well, I'll tell you, when a church gets on fire for God, people will usually come. What Peter is saying to us is said with tremendous urgency. He writes as a dying man to dying men. He says in verse 14, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." As an old man, he realizes that death is near. Twice he uses the word tabernacle in reference to his body. This could also be translated tent. Peter realizes, as did the Apostle Paul, that in this world, we who love the Lord have no certain dwelling place. Ours is a mere tent existence. The sad tragedy of so many Christians is that they have forgotten that they are pilgrims on this earth, traveling through to their eternal home. They are more concerned about mansions here and now than about those Christ promised in the hereafter. As a consequence, they become so involved in the cares of this life that they are of little or no value in the Lord's service. It is easy for Christians to become so entangled with the golden flowers of riches and worldly pleasures that their lives drift in the wrong direction. We must keep ourselves free from the entanglements of this present evil world. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I received a letter from a dear saint of God who has been a faithful listener to our Glad Tidings broadcast from the inception of this radio ministry. This friend has written to us many, many times. Her letters are always an encouragement and a blessing. She has been a shut-in for a number of years, but never complains. Her penmanship is beautiful, but I have noticed recently in each succeeding letter, the handwriting seems more shaky. In the last letter I received, she wrote as follows: "At 78 years, as the earthly dwelling grows frailer and weaker, and efforts to keep up necessary duties are so painful, it is a moment-by-moment experience of His grace and strength that sustains me. Praise and rejoice in Him." Well, as I close, let's examine our own motives and ambitions in life. Why did God save us? Why are we here? Are we not His to live for Him? Well, let's do it, dear friends. And should it be that you've never trusted Christ for salvation, I urge you to do that right now. Father, use these few thoughts in our hearts to challenge and motivate us. May the Spirit of God take hold of us, that we shall put first things first. In Jesus' name, amen.